If you would, turn with us to Galatians chapter number 3. And I'll read a verse of Scripture here tonight. I believe the Lord's laid upon her heart. And we'll try to obey the Lord tonight. Galatians chapter number 3. And we'll read verse 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Let us pray, God, right there. Lord, we thank you, God, for your precious word. And we pray, God, you'd help us tonight, Lord, that we'd be obedient to the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, we know tonight, God, that we can't do anything. But Lord, I can remember a long time ago when I first started preaching, I remember bowing down and praying, "God, I can't preach." And then, Lord, it was just so clear. It seemed you spoke to us. You said, "You know that we can't." And Lord, but you can speak to us, God. You can speak through us. And Lord, help us tonight, God. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this passage tonight, there was one word that spoke out to us. I'd like to preach on this one word found in the midst of this verse of Scripture. It's the word till. T-I-L-L. Let me read this passage again. "Wherefore then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come." And I'd like to preach just for a few moments tonight on till. And what that spoke to us and how a few things the Lord showed to us in that word, till. In the context of this passage, we find that it's in a time whenever the Jewish legalizers and the religious crowd was trying to impress upon the Christians and those that were saved and trying to get them to revert back to the law and go back into Levitical offerings and sacrifices and keeping of days and months and years. And they was trying to press from back under the law and saying that salvation was great, was grace, and mixing grace and law together, works and grace. And we find here that the Apostle Paul's dealing with this. He's trying to teach them the grace of God. There in chapter number 3 here, our text, in verse 1, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" He says, "Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently or plainly been set forth, crucified among you?" They were under this pressure to go back under the law. And friend, he's trying to make them help them understand that it's by grace through faith. And they were justified not by the deeds of the law, amen, but by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our text here in verse number 19, I begin to study and look at this, and there's three things, I believe, that spoke to me about this word till. First of all, tonight it meant that it was temporary. The law was temporary. It served a purpose. It served a time or an age. It served a purpose in its time. And by the way, God works in His time. Over in chapter 4, we hear he says, "But when the fullness of the time was come." You see, the law was temporary. And I couldn't help but, as I was studying this, think about what we study as the dispensations in the Bible. And Schofield, if you have a Schofield reference, he marks down, I believe, 7 dispensations. You know, it starts out with creation, innocence, and all these different ones. And some of those I perhaps would maybe be debatable, the different time frames and stuff. But there's two in particular tonight that I believe are set in stone, and two dispensations tonight that we need to be familiar with and we need to have an understanding of, amen, to be able to understand the Bible. And that is the dispensation, amen, of the law and the dispensation of the grace of God, or the church age, as we call it. Amen. The law is number one tonight. The law is dealt with Moses until the coming of Christ. In the Bible, it deals with the book of Exodus, amen, all the way through the Old Testament as we go on in to the New Testament. Amen. The law had a purpose. The law had a reason. And I want to look at a twofold purpose here of the law. Amen. First of all, it was to show man, amen, of his sinful condition, and it was to show us as man how holy that God is. Amen. Here in our text in verse 19, it says, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" What's the reason for it? Amen. Why did God give the law anyway? Amen. The Bible says here it was added because of transgressions. Amen. You see, ever since Adam sinned in the garden, man was sinning. But it always, as it seems, it wasn't clear, amen, that sin and so forth. Amen. But God designed it so that whenever He gave the law, amen, there was now, amen, a catalog. There was now something written that specified it. Amen, that said, this is sin. Amen, this is what it's called. Amen, and it goes against God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law." Amen, some people, amen, whenever they read the law and they read its judgments and how strict it is, and by the way, the law was strict. Amen, the Bible says the law was good. It was holy. It was righteous. Amen, when you read about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, amen, and all the stonings and so forth, amen, people may criticize God in His judgment and God in His holy. Amen, but friend, even in God's judgment, amen, even in His wrath, amen, He is merciful. Amen. I'll take you all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Amen. God drove man out of the garden. Amen. I believe that God could allow man to live in that depraved condition on and on. He could allow them to do that. But friend, He drove them out of the garden. Amen. You know what He did? By His mercy and by His grace, He gave man an opportunity to get things right with God. And it made that available. Amen. The same thing in the law. In His judgment. Amen. The law said judgment. He shall die. He shall do this. He shall do that. Amen. But even in His judgment, He showed mercy. But amen. How do you say that? Because in His judgment, He says, here's where you're wrong. Here's where you've messed up. And I'm telling you this so you can make it right. You'll never be able to make something right until you figure out what's wrong and what God was doing. He's saying, I'm merciful in showing you where you're wrong. I'm letting you know where you've failed, where you've come short. It's described in this chapter as a schoolmaster, or that tutor in the Greek culture. That schoolmaster, as I understand, would follow a young boy from the time that they're very young up to go through them all the way through school and in its learning up until the time that it would come of age. And then after the schoolmaster was done, then it would be up to that young man, amen, to find the way on his own. But that schoolmaster was delegated. That schoolmaster was a servant or a slave that stayed and was dedicated to that child to show it the ways that were right and to show it where it was wrong. Amen. And whenever it done wrong, it would say, hey, right here's where you done wrong. Here's where I want to point you in the right direction. And amen, I'd imagine that schoolmaster would have been the one, amen, that would have helped it along in every single point, in every single way. And he's saying here, the law is the schoolmaster. The law is what showed you you're wrong. The law is what guided you. And the law was that which pointed you to Christ. Look with me in verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Amen. That schoolmaster, amen, would be constantly overlooking this child. But friend, whenever that child become of age, amen, it was up to them. They at the time that they were a child, they had to be, it was almost as if they were forced, and they were under obligation. That schoolmaster was there to tell them, and they were constantly being watched. But friend, what made that child a man is whenever it was able to go on its own and to do right, not because it was being told to do right, but to do right because it was the right thing. We're not living under the law today. I mean, we don't serve God because we have to. Amen. We serve God because we want to. Amen. We serve God, amen, because He loves us. We serve God because He died for us, and He loves us. Amen. And we want to please Him. Amen. We're not serving God tonight, amen, and doing right so we can go to heaven. Amen. We serve God tonight because we are going to heaven, and He saved us by His marvelous grace. I wrote this down. The Bible's the only text that teaches salvation's apart from works and by grace alone. Amen. God said, I did it all. Amen. The Roman Catholics cult says that salvation's through participating in sacraments, beginning with baptism. The Hindus say salvation is through practicing Dharma and working out one's karma. Buddhists say salvation is by reaching Nirvana through life, works, and meditation. And today, finally, the misled Christian says you're saved by grace and living right. Oh, friend, that's not so. Amen. Whenever you add to the grace of God, amen, you add to the cross at Calvary, amen, it disregards the grace of God. Amen. And it makes you no different than the pagan religions out there. It makes you no different than the Roman Catholic false religion. Amen. It is a works-based salvation. Amen. Over there in chapter number 2 and verse 21, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness has come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Friend, when you add to salvation, when you add to the cross at Calvary, amen, it's just like you standing up and saying, God, I don't care about your sacrifice. I don't care about what you did, because I'm able, amen, to contribute. I'm able to make it on my own. Friend, when really what we need to be saying, amen, it's all the grace of God. Amen. If there's anything good in me, it's because God gave it to me, and God's been good to me, and that's why I serve Him. Amen. The law is serving the purpose, amen, of showing us how holy that God is. But what about that schoolmaster? In verse 25, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. The law says do, but grace says done, don't it? Amen? Look over in chapter number 12, or in verse number 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. Praise God, He took that curse for us, didn't He? Amen. He took that shame for us. Amen. The law says do, but amen, Jesus said it's finished. Amen. When He died upon the cross at Calvary. Amen. And so firstly of the law here we see it teaches how holy that God is and how sinful we are. Amen. Secondly, it points us to Christ in typology. Amen. You look at the all throughout the Old Testament, it's filled with the prophecies, amen, of Jesus Christ. Amen. The tabernacle, amen, is filled with typology of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible, New Testament, talks about the law having a shadow of the things to come. Amen. Amen. In Hebrews, it talks about better, amen, better sacrifices, a better testament, amen, a better way. Amen. Thank God that Jesus is better. Amen. And so that Old Testament points to Christ. And friend, the Jew today, amen, what I call the modern day Pharisee, amen, they're still looking for the coming of Christ. They're over there, amen, praying for the Messiah to come. But friend, He's already come. Amen. They're praying in vain, amen, for Him to come because He's already come. Amen. If they'd have just studied the Scriptures, He told them, He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life. Amen. But they are they that testify Me. Amen. If they just studied the Scriptures, if they just took the Word of God, amen. Old Simeon had enough knowledge about Him to know through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, amen, that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Christ. He said, behold, mine eyes have seen My salvation. Amen. It's revealed to him by God. Amen. The grace of God. And we see Christ in typology here. But so we see here the law as a dispensation from Exodus unto the New Testament, from Moses unto the coming of Christ. And secondly, I want you to see the grace of God. Amen. The dispensation of the grace of God. Or what we call the church age. Amen. That consists of the time from the cross at Calvary and from Jesus Christ unto the rapture of the church. Amen. This period, what's unique about it was a mystery hidden God before the foundation of the world. Look with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words." It's talking about the mystery here, the dispensation of the grace of God, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And here in verse 5, it defines what a mystery is. It's very plain. I'm glad the Bible, amen, defines itself, don't it? The Bible defines, amen, and it teaches us where, verse 5, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." That's what a mystery is, ain't it, in the Bible? It's something that previously wasn't known, and now it's been revealed. That's what a mystery is in the Bible here. And he's talking about the church. He's talking about, and here's the mystery in verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the church age. It's been described, amen, and illustrated so well by commentators. Amen. Christ's first advent and his suffering in the cross, and how that he came as a babe in a manger, as being a mountain peak. Amen. And his return and his glory. Amen. And his kingdom being that mountain peak beyond that. But the grace of God is that valley in between those two mountain peaks that you can't see from our vantage point, or from the vantage point of the prophets of the Old Testament. It was a mystery, but it was revealed by the apostles here through the Spirit of God. In verse 10, "to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank God for the dispensation of the grace of God. Amen. We need to see this very clearly, this mystery that was revealed. Amen. People's got an idea today that the church has replaced the nation of Israel. But friend, that's simply not so. God's still got a plan for the nation of Israel. Amen. He hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Amen. Even though they live in unbelief today, amen, one day there'll be a national restoration, amen, for the children of Israel. So when we study the Bible, we've got to see those dispensations. We've got to understand that we're in that church age. It's the Jew and the Gentile both together in one body, and that is the church. It was no mystery that God would save Gentile people. Look with me in our text in chapter number 3 and in verse 8. The Bible says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Amen. It takes us all the way back there to old Abraham and the promises that God made with him. And he's saying, amen, that it's not it, that God knew that there would be Gentiles saved. Amen. Let me tell you something about God. Amen. This church age, the dispensation of the grace of God. Amen. It wasn't some backup plan that God come up with. Amen. When the nation of Israel rejected their Christ. Amen. It wasn't God's last resort. It wasn't God up there wringing his hands and saying, "I'm going to have to go with plan B." Amen. God knowed all along. Amen. That we needed a Savior. Amen. He sent Jesus Christ. For whosoever believeth in him. Amen. It's God's plan. The grace of God. But that was the mystery was the Jew and the Gentile both in one body. And I want to read this in Ephesians also. You just bear with us tonight. God's got us all over the place here, and I don't know anything but to do. Just obey Him. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, "Wherefore remember that you beings in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called..." Keep in mind the people that He's talking to here. Amen. They were called up, amen, in their religion. Amen. The Jews, they was proud that they were the sons of Abraham. And they had their genealogies and they had their religion. Amen. They had the temple. Amen. I believe it was a wonder of the world then. They were proud of that temple. They were proud of their religion. Amen. The Pharisees was proud of what they had learned and what they had accomplished. Amen. And whenever they would walk down the road, they could lift up their head high. Amen. And say that they was a Jew. Amen. Of the tribe of Benjamin or whatever tribe they was of. Amen. And the Gentiles. Amen. Were nothing but dogs to them. So the Apostle Paul, amen, he's trying to help them. He's trying to say, look here, amen, there's no difference anymore. Amen, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Amen, you rejected Christ. Amen, and He went away, amen. Amen, now we've got the church and the Jew and the Gentile in one body. He says here, praise God in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. You remember when you was without Christ? Lost in sin. Amen. I believe it's most of us, amen, we done forgot what God's brought us out of. Amen. How far, amen, gone we was. Amen. We was on a road headed to hell. Amen. Amen. Lost without God. Amen. When He came to where we was at. Amen. Being times that you were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, friend, whenever the Gentiles heard of them covenants before Christ came, I would imagine that some would have thought, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Amen. When they read back there about Abraham and his seed, amen. Amen. The promise of Isaac and the promise of the blessings, amen, to his offspring and amen, and that promised seed. I would imagine the Gentile really wouldn't have had much application there. But what he's saying now in verse 13, but now, amen. Now there's a difference. Amen. God stepped in. In other words, that law was temporary. In other words, it served a purpose. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, has made both one, have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Amen. There's two divisions here we could speak of. We could talk about those courts, and they had different divisions. They had the, amen, the courts for the Gentiles. They had the court for the Jew. They had the court, amen, for the women. Amen. He said, now that's all done away with. Amen. In Christ Jesus, amen, we're one. Amen. And we're made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. But not only that, in that temple, amen, there was a veil, amen, that man couldn't, amen, tear it on his own. But the Bible says when Jesus died upon the cross, that veil was rent in twain from top to bottom, amen, making access right in, amen, there's no stipulations, amen, there's no regulations, amen, but God said, I've opened it, I've made it available, amen, you can come right on in and sup with me and commune with me, amen, bring your petitions and come right on in. You don't have to go through a priest, amen, or a preacher, or anybody else. You can come right on in, amen. Thank God, amen, access was made. Amen, how did He do it? Through the cross at Calvary, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Thank God for the peace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that you were at enmity with God? That means that you were literally an enemy of God. You say, well, I was a good moral person. That don't matter, friend. Amen. We were all sinners. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. And so we see here the grace of God. We see that it was a mystery hid in God. That mystery was, is that the Jew and the Gentile both have been one body. Amen. And the other thing I want to see here, so we saw here that word till the seed should come. That word till told us it was temporary, right? Number two, it shows us that there was a promise. That God made a promise. He didn't write this down in vain. Way back there, when he was talking to Abraham, he just wasn't giving him a bunch of words, amen. There was a reason for all that. There was a reason why he said, I will bless those that bless thee, I'll curse those that curse thee. Amen. There was a reason for all. There was a seed, there was a promise, and it was through the seed. He said, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. You say, well, I thought that dealt with Abraham. Let's read here about this a little bit. Look in verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to thy seeds as the many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Amen. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. He was that seed of promise. Amen. He was the one that was able, amen, to fulfill God's holy law on all points. He was the one that was able, amen, to keep the law, amen, to never sin and be that holy and acceptable sacrifice before God. In verse 17, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Amen. This promise is in Jesus Christ. In verse 29, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. The Jews, all they could think about was Abraham. All they could think about was Moses. Amen. They couldn't see beyond that and see all that pointed to something. Amen. It says now there's an order to it. Amen. It's Christ, then Abraham's seed. According to what? Works? According to ours, according to the promise. Thank God for that promise that God has given us. Amen. They talked about Abraham, and amen. I remember when Jesus was talking to them Jews there. Amen. He said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. Amen. And they said, you're crazy. Amen. You're not even 50 years old. Amen. You're talking about like you knew Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Praise God. Thank God for the great I am. Can't you see that God has given us a promise? How does this apply to you and I? What's this promise talking about? Way back there, God gave Abraham a bunch of promises. You know what the Bible says? Very plain. The Bible says Abraham believed God. It's counted on him for righteousness. You know what? It wasn't that Abraham done all these great works. It wasn't that he, because he left his homeland. The reason that Abraham was considered righteous, the reason he was what we would say saved, is because he simply believed God. What God had revealed to him, and God brought him out of there, praise God, and God told him he was going to give him that land. God told him he'd give him a son in his old age. Amen. He'd give him these promises. And you know what? He didn't doubt. He said, you know what? I believe God. And you know what happens when you get saved? You believe God. You believe what God says about us as fallen man and as sinners. You believe that Jesus died for your sins and how he was buried and he rose again. And you and what you're doing is you're trusting God at his word. Abraham did just that. He believed God. But what about the law? You see, Abraham was before the law. I know this is simple tonight, friend, but I'm just giving you what the Lord's given me, and that's all I know to do. Abraham was before the law. Amen. So what? How does the law change things? And the Jew might have made the argument this, well, now the law's come. We live by the law. We live by, amen, the letter of the law. We follow the ordinances. We make our sacrifices. We're not going to partake of any unclean meat. We're of the circumcision. Amen. It's been this way all the way since Moses. And bless God, it's going to be that way. Amen. On and on. But the Bible says in verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. that it should make the promise of none effect. The law or any other dispensation, as far as that is, don't cancel any of God's promises. They're still good. The promises that He made to Abraham, they're still good. He promised the Jew, He promised them that land. And praise God, that land over there belongs to them. Amen. One day He's going to bring them back into that land. By the way, when He said, I will bless those that bless thee, I'll curse those that curse thee, it's still in effect today. I believe it will be in America's best interest, amen, to be good to Israel, amen, and bless them, and pray for them, amen, and pray that the those that are not saved would be saved, and that we would be good to them and bless them, amen. If we don't, we better look out. Because you can't disannul the promises of God. They're still true. Amen. And those, you remember, amen, whenever God appeared to him, He made him those promises. Amen. And Abraham went out there with those sacrifices and cut them in half. You remember that? And at that time, that type of covenant, the parties would bring the sacrifices and they would cut them in half and put them one side to the other. The two parties would make an agreement, amen, upon a contract, if you will, and they would agree to terms. And they would agree on it, and they would walk between those two those sacrifices that were parted there, and it would be binding, and it would be a promise, and it would be just like today what we consider a contract. Amen. But what happened to Abraham? He brought those sacrifices, he cut them in half and set them to the side. Amen. And he waited and waited and waited on God, and God finally showed up. And friend, when God showed up, it wasn't that they sat there in agreement. Amen. And God made promises, and Abraham made his promises. No, friend, God put Abraham in a sleep, praise God. And God done all the promising. Amen. God done all the deal making. Amen. And God passed through there. Amen. And Abraham wasn't there to stand up and say, all right, God, you do my part, and I'll do mine. Amen. For you and I today, friend, I think about when Jesus died upon the cross at Calvary. I wasn't there to say, all right, God, you done that. I'm going to do my part. Amen. We're going to come together. Amen. That ain't the way it works. Amen. God's the one that done all the promising. Amen. And there's nothing that will disannul the promises of God. Every promise that God ever made, He's kept. You believe that tonight, friend? Amen. I believe that when He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, He'd go with us all the way, even to the end. I believe that, don't you? Amen. I may not be very smart tonight, but I got enough sense to know I can believe God. Abraham believed Him. I can believe Him too. Lastly tonight, this word till tells me that God had a plan all along. Amen. It was God's plan. It was God's purpose. This word till tonight, to me, it aligns with the very nature of how the Bible has revealed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is simply, I believe, a revelation of Jesus Christ. You go all the way back to the beginning. We see that promise of the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of Satan. Amen. You go all the way to Abraham and how that God appeared to him. And we see in the law, and we see in typology, we see, amen, even the way the tabernacle was shaped and the way that those articles of furniture were placed in that tabernacle, amen, it made a cross. And the way they encamped around that tabernacle, it made a cross. And every single sacrifice, every single feast, and every single prophet, amen, they pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, those prophets told about His crucifixion. Amen, they told where He would be born. Amen, they told how that He would die, when He would come. He'd be born of a virgin. Amen. It was adding and adding up to, amen, revealing Jesus Christ. And He was revealed all throughout the New Testament. And friend, He's still revealing Himself today to you and I through the person of the Holy Spirit. And even further than that, He's revealing His Son Jesus Christ through us, the church, the people of God. Amen. He's wanting to reveal Himself. Amen, and to reveal His Son, Jesus Christ. Here in chapter number 1 of our text, verse number 11, the Bible says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man." Paul's saying, he said, what I'm giving you, it wasn't any private interpretation. It wasn't something I made up. This come from God. This is God's doing. In verse 12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, He's revealing the Son, Jesus Christ, here. That's what He's doing today. Amen. That song there in the old Redback, Brother Junior, "I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about Jesus." Amen. While we come here tonight, I believe we want to know more about Him. We want to know more about the cross. But do you see how that the picture of the cross got clearer and clearer in the Old Testament? And friend, as we see the signs of the times today, I'm not saying I'm predicting to come to the Lord, but one thing I do know, His return is imminent. He could come at any time. Amen. It's getting closer and closer. Amen. We're living in perilous times when men should be lovers themselves, boasters, proud, amen, blasphemers, and all those things the Bible talks about. It's all here. Nothing else has to be fulfilled until Jesus comes. Amen? Until He's fully revealed at that revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does He reveal His Son? Does He reveal Himself through experience? There's a lot of people that's got experiences that they've had where they felt good. You know, most people, they talk in tongues and so forth. Most of the time, they don't never take it to the Scriptures. They'll go back and say, "Well, my mamaw," or "I had this experience one time," or "I had this dream." They're basing their doctrine based upon an experience, not the Word of God. Does God reveal Himself through experience? Well, we can experience Him. Does He reveal Himself through intellectualism, through philosophy? No, friend, He reveals Himself through the Word of God. This Bible tonight, that's why we preach the Word of God. Friend, I'm coming to a close. I just appreciate the Lord tonight. Amen. I had so much tonight to get off of me. Amen. I just didn't know what to do with it. I thought I was going to go crazy today, friend. The Word of God, I was trying to study on my lunch break. I was trying to find the Lord. But you know what? God knows what we need. Amen. God knows what we have need of. And so tonight, we talked about this word, till. It means temporary. It spoke to me tonight in the way that it was spoke of the promise, that promised seed through Abraham. And it spoke of that plan that God had all along. Amen. And how that He revealed His Son from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in closing tonight, it tells us that He still has a plan. You say, "Well, what? How do you know that? What do you think about that?" Amen. The things are going the way they are. He's not returned yet. Amen. We're living in a time, friend, whenever God still has a plan. And you know how I know He's still got a plan to reveal Himself? He reveals Himself to me every day. Amen. It gets, like one old-timer said, he said, it gets sweeter and sweeter the further up the stream you go. And I'm glad. It's probably, if you count the time whenever I was under Holy Ghost conviction, it's been about 20 years now. He revealed Himself to me. Amen. Made Himself so clear. No preacher, no man could make it any clearer than the Lord Himself revealing Himself to me personally. Amen. I'm glad for that. "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come." Amen. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Rick.